Hey, my name is Danny Luffelhalls. I have the joy of serving as a pastor here at this campus, and thanks for worshiping Christ with us this morning. Truly, we're glad you're here, and it's good to be together. You know, I appreciate Matt and Chloe and Kimber and just talking about here at Grace. We do. We've had a hope since 2014 to invest into the next generation and then send them out when they move on from Tyler. So to invest in and to send out, that really has been a hope. That's our way of being disciples who make disciples, that we want to pour into the next generation and pour into them, disciple them, and then launch them out to be disciples who make disciples when they leave Tyler. It really has been a hope for us. And so today we're going to talk about what does it mean for your faith to grow? Like for a college student and a non-college student, for the rest of us, right? What does it mean for your faith to grow? So when you're a college student and you come here, we want your faith to become your own. No longer mom and dad's faith. For those of you who maybe you're a young believer, we want to see your faith grow. For those of you who are more mature believers, we want to see your faith grow as well during your time here. We want to see you on mission for the sake of actually sharing your faith. But we also know that having faith in Christ comes with a cost. It actually comes with a cost. I know as we live here in the buckle of the Bible Belt, sometimes we see Christianity through the lens of comfort. It's easy. But that's not really what the Bible says about our faith. Jesus is very clear that when you have faith in Him, it will come at a cost. It actually will be costly to you. And it's interesting because when he speaks to the church at Smyrna in Revelation chapter 2, and that's where we're at today, Revelation chapter 2, Jesus has some real direct words to this group of believers 2,000 years ago, but he has direct words about their faith will be costly. This is our theme this morning that we're going to look at. And what Christ says to the church at Smyrna, he says, a time may come when your faith is costly to you. A time may come when you're a college student and your faith is costly to you. A time may come when you're not a college student and your faith is costly to you. So this morning, this is for any believer here in this room, to consider what does it mean to be a follower of Christ and yet your faith in Jesus may actually be costly to you. What does that mean? So let's go. Revelation chapter 2 this morning. We'll start in verse 8 together. Revelation 2, verse 8. It says, and to the angel of the church of Smyrna, write the words of the first and the last, who died and came to life. I want to stop here because I think there's some context that we need to grasp. He addresses these words to a group of believers living in Smyrna. Now, what was Smyrna? What do we know about the city in the first century? We know a couple of things. Smyrna was a really large city in the first century. We know that its population was over 100,000 people, so it was bigger than Tyler. We know that this city was actually a very prosperous city because it was a port city in the first century, but there also was a main road that the Romans had built that ran straight into Smyrna. Because it was a port city, because they had a main road heading into the city, we know that it developed trade in the city. And because there was good trade in the city, it also developed a very prosperous and healthy economy. And because there was a prosperous and healthy economy, it meant that there was a lot of wealth in the city. It was a thriving city in the first century. But we also know here that there was a group of Christians that were the minority in the city. There was not a church on every corner in Smyrna. But there was one church that if you're a follower of Christ, this was your community. These were your people, actually. And that they would gather together. And we learn something actually about the church here. If you look at verse 9, Let's get to know them a little bit more. Jesus says to the church there in Smyrna, he says, I know your tribulation. I know your tribulation. And what we learn here was this was a group of people that suffered a lot. Now, it's really interesting because Jesus addresses seven churches in the book of Revelation. All the seven churches, with the exception of two, he rebukes or he calls out something about them. Like last week when we studied the church at Ephesus, he called out, you've lost your first love. What was their first love? It was the gospel. And over a 40-year period, they drifted from being centered on the gospel, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. Well, when he comes to the church of Smyrna, he actually doesn't rebuke them. He doesn't call out a blind spot that they had. But he also never calls out anything that they were doing well. He doesn't encourage them about something they're doing well, and he doesn't call out something they were not doing well. But he actually focuses something that would speak to, on something that would speak to their faith. Why? Because it was costly for them to have a faith. They were suffering here. We also learned something else about them in the next part. I know your tribulation and I know your poverty. But you are rich. One commentator put it this way about the poverty in which they lived in. Even though they lived in a prosperous city, this group of believers were experiencing what it meant to live in poverty. The commentator said this, that they had in their congregation slaves, ex-slaves, runaway slaves, poor people, and those who had lost whatever money they had when they became Christians. So they lived in poverty, even in a wealthy city. But it's interesting, you notice what Jesus said to them? Even though you're poor, material-wise, college students, you can amen that, by the way, right? You know that. That resonates. Even though you don't have a lot material-wise, what did Jesus say to them? You're actually rich. And I think he's emphasizing to them that you have everything you need in Christ. Everything you need in Christ. Notice the next part. He says, and I also know the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Wow, Jesus just went there, I guess. He says, look, there's a group of people who claim to be Jews and they're Jewish by birth, but their faith really is not Jewish at all. And I know this group of people, for whatever reason, they are mocking you. They're slandering you because of your faith in Christ. So notice how hard it was to be a believer in Smyrna in the first century. It was not easy. It was not comfortable for them at all. Even a few years later, there was a Christian. His name is Polycarp. If you have a child that you're thinking about naming, I would consider Polycarp. I think that would flow well in today. Yeah, sure. Polycarp, early believer in Christ, though, that he actually lived in Smyrna. We know that he was rebuked, he was mocked, and he was persecuted for his faith in Christ. And then in 160 AD, so again, not too long after Jesus' words to John here on Patmos, the book of Revelation, we know that Polycarp was martyred for his faith in Christ. Where? In this city. As he stood eye to eye with those who were about to kill him for his faith, he spoke these words. He said this, when they asked him to renounce his Christianity, he looked directly back to his persecutors and he said, 86 years. I don't know why he didn't say 86 years. He said 86 years. I have served him and he has done me no wrong. Why then would I renounce my King and Savior now? I have served Christ for 86 years and he has done me no wrong. Why now would I denounce him? Why? And they killed him for his faith. There was a cost to being a follower of Christ in Smyrna in the first century. But why? Why? Why did these believers, why did they count the cost worth it? Why would they do such a thing? Why would they not just want comfortable Christianity? Why would they look at what it would cost them and for some reason they would calculate all of this and put it together and come to the conclusion, you know what, following Jesus is worth it. Why? Look at the next verse. Look what Jesus, notice what Jesus says to these believers. He says, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. You know what's fascinating to me? In verse 9, Jesus acknowledges, look, you've gone through tribulation, you've lived in poverty, people are mocking you, they slander you for following Christ. You would think in verse 10, Jesus would come back to these believers and say, but now it's over, now it's free, it's your period of blessing. Or he would say to them, the victory is here, the victory is yours. But what does he tell them? You've suffered, and it's about to get worse. It's about to get worse. Jesus doesn't tell them, hey, you know what? You put in your time. It's okay. Great job, guys. No, he looks at them and he says, it's been costly to you to follow Jesus to this point, and it's actually going to cost you more. And maybe for some of you, it will even cost you your life. Daniel Aiken wrote a commentary about the church at Smyrna. Notice what he says about the costly nature of following Christ. He said, the church was enduring economic, physical, religious, and social opposition. They were marked out and ostracized. They experienced economic boycott and were misrepresented, and they paid the price. This next part's so good. It cost them to take a stand for Jesus. There was real sacrifice in remaining faithful to Jesus. Church, did you hear that part? It cost them to remain faithful to Jesus and to follow him. It cost them to take a stand for Jesus. Hear it again. It cost them to take a stand for Jesus. Do we know what that means in the church today? Do we know what that means living in the buckle of the Bible Belt? Do we understand that it actually cost us something to take a stand for Jesus? Why is this a problem for us today? Why is it a struggle even to wrap our minds around the thought that, wow, following Jesus may actually cost me something? Shouldn't it be as easy as, oh, I just go to church, sing a few songs, hear a sermon, say hi to people, and then I head out? That's following. No. Biblical Christianity says when you follow Christ, you give your life to Jesus, you abandon your old life, you believe in his life, his death, his resurrection, you place your faith in the gospel. It will actually bring you to a point living in this culture. It will cost you something. So why is it a struggle for us? I want to give you three reasons. Three reasons I believe it is a struggle for us to wrap our minds around the thought that following Jesus may actually be costly to us. Here's the first one. I think it's a struggle because for some of us, we tend to act surprised that faith in Jesus might actually cost us something. The thought that it would be surprising to us makes it a struggle for us. Here's a problem. We can get caught up in good, feel-good, comfortable Christianity. And preachers who tell us everything that we want to hear. Or we could read our Bibles. And when you read the Word, it's going to tell us some things that really don't settle well. Things that push us out of our comfort, right? And one of those, Jesus said time and time again, follow me, you're going to face tribulation. You're going to face suffering. Think about John chapter 15, verse 19, what Jesus said. He said, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of this world, therefore the world will hate you. Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verse 29 said this, for it has been granted to you, that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Over the last 2,000 years, following Jesus, there has been a cost that has been associated with giving your life to Christ. I think the second reason is it's a struggle for us is that some of us would rather compromise our faith rather than pay the cost for our faith. Let me say that again. Some of us would rather compromise our faith rather than actually having to pay a cost for our faith. College students, this is real to you. You're going to have some professors that will mock you for your faith. Professors that will mock you but also call you naive for following Jesus and believing in Jesus, or call you unintelligent for believing in Jesus. You may face the cost of some people who will disassociate themselves from being around you because of your faith in Jesus. Following Jesus is going to mean you're not going to get invited to some social circles. You won't be included in some social circles. For the businessmen and businesswomen in the room, you may have a business deal that's on the table, but because of your walk with Christ and what you believe in it, the integrity in which you hold to as a follower of Christ, there may be business deals that you don't get, money that you don't make, because you're a follower of Christ. Some of us experience being ostracized, mocked, ridiculed in our own families for following Christ. There may be some of you that you're in a relationship with somebody right now, and let's be honest, man, he has biceps the size of Montana, and he is good looking, but he doesn't build your faith up. It may cost you a relationship. She's beautiful, you're absolutely attracted to her, but she doesn't build your relationship with Christ up. It may cost you a relationship. Would we rather compromise our faith or keep that faith growing strong and face losing temporal things of this world? I think another reason it's a struggle for us, third and lastly, that most of us, and this is where I live, this is the one that hits home with me, that most of us get or cannot get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Let me say that again. I think it's a struggle for us even to think that taking a stand for Jesus will cost us something, because most of us cannot get comfortable with being uncomfortable. I'll put it this way, that all of us need to understand what the early Christians understood. That faith in Jesus does not guarantee us comfort in a worldly sense. But instead, faith in Jesus will lead us to a place of actually sacrificing comfort. A Christian life is not comfortable. Jesus gives us comfort. But when I'm talking about worldly things, worldly relationships, living in this place and in this culture, we can never get comfortable living here. Why? Because our citizenship is not here, right? It's in heaven. That's where we belong. That's our destination. That's where you as a believer, you're headed in that direction. So why would we ever get comfortable here with worldly comforts? Man, when I read the scriptures, Jesus makes it very clear that following him is leaving everything to follow him. Everything of this world to follow him. Why? Because he's worth it. Because he's worth it. So how do we respond to this? I love what Jesus proclaims to the church at Smyrna here. Because he doesn't apologize that they would actually walk through suffering in this world. He doesn't pat them on the back and say, hey, you know what? You're awesome, and I'm really, really thankful that you would just even consider suffering. It's not what he says. He's very intentional. Look at back at verse 8 together. Notice how he starts all of this. He starts it with Jesus. He starts it with the gospel here. He says, the words of the first and the last, who died and came to life. Let's just talk gospel for a moment. The gospel is a perfect blend of who Jesus is, the greatness of who he is, and what he has accomplished. What he came to accomplish and what he absolutely accomplished. His life, his death, his resurrection, the gospel of Christ. And what he does here, he proclaims to them, knowing that there was going to be a cost for their faith in him. He starts out with talking about him. And what does he proclaim about him? He's the first and the last. It's Jesus' way of saying, look, I have always existed. Always. And I will forever exist. He is infinite. His life never comes to an end. And then he says, and look what I did. I defeated death. I went to the cross. But then I walked out of that tomb, and I absolutely defeated death. So as you experience short-term, temporal suffering, which for most of us feels like it's going to be here forever, Jesus says, look to him, the infinite one. You belong to him. Romans 8, nothing will ever take you out of his hands. That's the power of the cross. And the greatness of the gospel. Press into him as you face cost for following him. Verse 10, what does he tell them? He tells them, do not fear. Do not fear. Just think about what he suffered. Going to the cross. It does put into perspective our temporal suffering. But he was absolutely courageous in going to the cross. He didn't back down from the cross. That is the one that you belong to as a believer now, as you face suffering in this world. Later on in verse 10, he tells them, be faithful, remain faithful. He's the ultimate faithful one. Faithful to us, and faithful to accomplishing our redemption on the cross. Faithful to, again, to defeat death and walk out of that tomb. That's who you belong to now. And then at the very end of verse 10, he says, and you will inherit the crown of life. Our suffering is temporal. We know where we're headed. And we know our rewards in heaven, what they will be. But we also know that we will spend eternity with him, never facing suffering again. So during our time, limited time here in this world, there will be a cost for following Jesus. But church, isn't he worth it? Isn't he worth it? The faithful, courageous, eternal one who we belong to, he's worth it. Let's pray together. I think it'd just be appropriate right now to spend some time just with the Lord, responding to the truth of his word, not responding to me. responding to him. And maybe right now for some of us, just contemplating what it means to have a faith in Christ, yet for that to be costly. Maybe for some of us, it's a time just to turn and repent. Say, Lord, I have followed the things of this world, but I want to turn away from them and turn to you. Maybe for some, it's a time to say, I'm giving my life to you, Jesus. I believe in you. I trust you. I want to follow you. I'm giving my life to you. Just spend some time with him right now.